We'll talk about it.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for attending the Ridley Planning Commission regular meeting, 5 p.m. today, which is Thursday, May 21st, 2015. If we don't mind standing up to take the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Please face the flag and salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, Ellen, if you can do a roll call, please, for attendance.
Commissioner Barcelos. Commissioner Gutierrez.
Here.
Commissioner Hudson. Commissioner Perez.
Here.
Chairman Custodio.
Here. So our next portion of this meeting is the public comment. This provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the Commission's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. Does anyone have any public comment? All right, let's move on. We're going to go ahead and move to number one, which is a consent agenda, where the meetings for regular meeting will be approved.
Yeah, so there are actually three sets of minutes here, and we can approve them all in one action if the commission so wishes.
All right, so let's do a vote here. So we're going to motion to approve.
A motion.
Okay, we have a first.
Second.
We have a second. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Gutierrez.
Yes.
Commissioner Perez.
Yes.
Chairman Custodio.
Yes. All right, public hearing, please. Number two, now we're going to be considering here and listening to staff. Mr. Fabino, please.
Members of the Planning Commission, Chairman Kevin Fabino, Community Development Department. Before you this evening is consideration of conditional use permit application number 2015-01 and environmental assessment number 2015-12. The conditional use permit is, we're actually quite excited to bring this to you. I'm sure you're all well aware of where the property is located, which is at the northwest corner of Reed and Floral, better known as part of the Triangle Project. We've talked to you. You've actually been instrumental in approving numerous entitlements, specifically the general plan and the rezone, to actually get us here this evening and allow the conditional use permit to come before you. Long story short, the subject property is consistent with the general plan. It is consistent with the zoning. The project in and of itself followed the typical process. It was delivered to the city. It was routed for comments. Those comments were received and became the conditions of approval, which are before you this evening. I will add that you have two documents in front of you. One is clearly identified as the conditions of approval. They are amended. They say amended on them. They are amended primarily because of the fact that a significant time had passed, and we'll just leave it at that, in which Verizon finally decided to provide a comment on the project. As much as it was not a significant or change anything related to the project, staff did feel it was important to make note of those comments and make it and incorporate it into the official conditions of approval. The Verizon comment was sent to the architect. We think everybody is happy with it. We've not heard from the architect or the engineer having any concern or dispute. It is what staff would consider to be a typical kind of comment from this particular utility. So therefore, we gave you a complete set of the amended conditions of approval. Because we amended the conditions of approval and we amended the title of the conditions of approval to read amended, we then needed to amend item number 9 on your resolution to make sure that we're all square. So you were also delivered a revised resolution 2015-07. Specifically, on page 2, number 9, it says the Planning Commission approves the attached amended condition. So there can never be any confusion as to what you actually approved, because it is incorporated the Verizon comments. I know my presentation's a little bit different and brief tonight, but I think by virtue of this body and the City Council both approving the general plan, I mean, this is a well-known project. I mean, there's nothing secret. We've, you know, brought you elevations. You have the site plan in front of you. I think it's pretty self-explanatory, I think, and I'm more than happy to answer any questions you might have.
You guys have any questions, concerns? No?
No.
It's exciting to see what's happening, so I'm glad this is happening. So I like the plans. I reviewed them. They look great, so it's going to be a good thing, especially for that side of town.
We're really excited because I think one of the things you as a commission will get to see, as well as for us as staff, and I know for the folks that it's really more important for, you know, to see where we started, which was with a concept. Mm-hmm. We actually went and bought property. I mean, you're getting to really be developers, if you will, which is, you know, really it's good for staff to understand that side of the coin. I mean, we process these things. We understand the bureaucracy. We understand the regulatory environment. We, you know, but to kind of look at it from a different set of eyes has, through a different lens, if you will, has really been a good experience for us. It reminds us of what we put people through because we went through it ourselves, and that, you know, we bought the property, we are subdividing the property, we're in escrow, we're ready to close, yet we've got through all the regulatory stuff, through the general plan, the rezone, the EA, and now it's kind of coming to alive, and I'm sure, you know, I'll be excited to report to you that building permits have been issued and we're off and running.
Is there any timeline for breaking ground and seeing this whole thing, this whole project?
Well, I think I'd be best left that answer or that question to the applicants.
Sometime maybe in August.
Okay. Of this year?
Mm-hmm. This year for sure.
All right. Yeah.
If everything went as scheduled as they said, it could be less than 2 months, but
probably closer to reality.
And for the record, the Thopkins staff is saying these things. So awesome. Thank you.
For the record, the realtor is quiet.
let's keep it that way. Yeah, let's keep it that way. We want to get out of here in a reasonable time.
Thank you all.
Yes. All right. If anybody has any more any issues or anything like that, then I want to go ahead and move forward with this and set an approval, a vote for the resolution in front of us. In our agenda here, we have A and B. So I'm going to do it together. I will separate it as I speak, but we're going to vote on it together. I believe one of it is a CEQA and the other one is the CPU. CUP, I'm sorry. If we can move forward, we're going to go ahead and take a vote on resolution number 2015-07. This is a resolution of the City of Ridley Planning Commission approving conditional use permit application number 2015-01 and related environmental assessment number 2015-12. Do I have a motion to approve?
Make a motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Can we get a roll call, please?
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutierrez?
Yes.
Chairman Custodio?
Yes. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, folks, for being here. You guys could stay here if you want to and listen to agenda 3, 4, 5, and 6. But if not, you're more than welcome to go ahead and head home.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, so now we're going to be discussing agenda number 3 and 4. So this is some information for informational purposes only. Is that correct? The training?
Correct. So let me kind of walk you through 3 through 6. Basically, item 3, the 2015-2016 Work Implementation Plan, 2015-16. We refer to it as the WIP. I know we've talked to you previously. We do try very diligently to bring things that will go to council before you, before they go there. We've tried to do that with numerous policies for a variety of reasons. We just went ahead and took the 15-16 WIP to the council. We did that because you really had reviewed, approved, or touched the WIP throughout the year. The end result is the first WIP, the 14-15, basically there were 29 policy initiatives completed in that 14-15 year, which really were designed to implement the general plan. So we think that's a huge step in the right direction. We, from that first WIP, have 26 policy initiatives to complete over the next year. We believe we will be able to complete those. I'd say of those 26, probably 10 or 12 at least are already in progress. So we may not have completed something in this fiscal year, but we've already made great headway into getting that accomplished next year. Ellen has done a great job in helping me and bring all those policy initiatives to you and eventually onto the City Council for approval. So we just wanted to stop, take a minute out, and provide you with the 2015-16 WIP so that you would have some idea of, you know, when we start bringing you these policy initiatives, like the next big one that's going to be coming is the Climate Action Plan. That could be to you probably in the next, I'd like to say 30 days, but it will most likely be 45 to 60 because we've got to do our environmental assessment. But that's a huge undertaking that we're really excited about. You know, something we've already started that will be coming up next year will be our farmland preservation, et cetera, et cetera. You'll see, I think, what was provided to you. I think, do you have the 14-15 in front of you?
No.
Okay.
The 14-15 is actually in the back.
It's in the back.
Yeah, and so it actually, the text in red is for all of the policies that were completed in the past.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. So the ones in red are have been completed?
Yes.
Okay.
So you'll see there's a lot of red.
I see.
And it's because of all the hard work of Velen and myself and you know, all of you. Because a lot of the things that you approved went on to City Council for their approval. So whether it was a text amendment or a study that we did or those kinds of things, we're quite frankly very proud of that. I mean, that to get through 29 different policies, a lot of good work.
The ones in black you're not going to touch?
The ones in black, actually, to be honest with you, became 15-16.
Okay. There you go.
So there's about 26 of those black ones that will be really are the foundation for next year that we're working on.
So the black ones are 15-16.
Yeah. Any questions?
Kevin, how... You know, given the governor's new mandate on water reductions throughout the state, does this take that number into an account? I mean, is it 35% reduction they're calling for across the board?
Okay, so
will this help us achieve that goal? In other words, looking at the hydrology and water section here.
Okay, so let me try and answer it this way, and I'm going to try and. I'm going to try and frame it for you because you're going to hear what the city's going to do in the next couple weeks. One, the The governor came out with his executive order related to draft and the need for statewide reduction. From there, what came out was a lot of discussion amongst DWR and cities. And the argument that was made, and I think it was the right argument for cities, is, wait a minute, if we have already been saving and we've already seen real reductions, then why should we be penalized for another 35% as opposed to others who either don't have meters, don't have tiered rates, you know, a lot of don'ts. So what happened is DWR went back and reviewed all that. They reissued their new target dates. For the city of Reedley, it's only 9%. It's not 35. But it's because of a couple reasons. And historically, and it is actually in our general plan, that the city of Reedley has actually reduced over the last, I think, 4 years by over 28%. So that appears in our general plan. It also appears in our urban water management plan. So we had to give you, because there's lots of ways you'll see these numbers tossed about, but to kind of put in a little bit of perspective. So pre-water meters, we were at 195 gallons per day per person. With meters, up till 2 years ago, we were at $165 a day. DWR put out another set of numbers that we are down to 132 gallons per day. So the city has incrementally moved from 195 to 132. The city of Reedley is the lowest per capita consumer in the entire valley. So
consumer of what?
Water.
Of water.
So okay. Per person.
Per person.
So every person in Reedley consumes 132 gallons per day.
Average.
Yeah, we do less.
Now, that is huge compared to Clovis that has 35 plus to make up, because they are, you know, they are so far, I mean, they have not done anywhere close to what we have done. Now, you're probably, and I can, you know, guess you're going like, well, why is not the city doing something? Well, because what happened is going back to your original question, the governor issued his executive order. Then DWR started issuing its mandates, changing mandates, and then effective the first week or two of this month, actually issued its regulatory requirements. What the city didn't want to do, and you know, of course, we're damned if we do and damned if we don't, we didn't rush right out and do something because we were afraid we would have to unwind or redo something once the DWR regs came out. Because, so we waited. And I know we've taken some heat. Well, why isn't the city? Well, the city already has. You know, if you go down and read all those little triangle cutout things, they're already browning out. You know, we've already shut off the water. So we're already doing things in medians to minimize the water. We're already working on it. But the big impact is going to come in the next council meeting, where we're trying to piggyback off of the governor's emergency drought executive order to give us the authority, if you will, under the law to issue a temporary emergency order for like 6 weeks till the new ordinance comes and puts in place. And basically, it's a very, if you will, atypical in that it is a tiered, you know, the world's great, we got plenty of water. You know, we've got restrictions, and we'll be in tier two, most likely. And there's some speculation that we're probably never going to get out of tier two, but it will be things like we'll go to 2 days instead of 3 days. The hours in which you can water will be narrowed. There's stuff about swimming pools. Three is a much harsher tier, and four is, you know, building and everything stops. So you'll see that coming out of the city very quickly. The way this impacts us, though, is in a different set of numbers, but still very important. So when you reviewed Kings River Village, one of the things in the neg deck that addresses water consumption, there's what's called consumptive use, which is really in our general plan, which is the basically how much it's production less replenishment gives you a consumptive use number. In the general plan, we said we had a deficit of 1,000 acre feet per year.
Like an overdraft, right?
Overdraft. So, overdraft meaning, yes, difference between production and replenishment. So, when we did the ponding basin, we actually went and talked to the hydrologist who gave us an opinion that said, when you build that, it will give you 100 acre feet. So, we have already reduced our overdraft from 1,000 to 900. Now, to go one step further, the general plan says we're going to go back and we're going to redo that study in like three or four years after the general plan, because we want to measure, have we been effective? We're actually thinking about having them go back. It's only been 18 months. Well, not, that's not true. It's only been like 14 months, 13 months. Because if we went from 198 to 165, but we went from 165 to 132, I mean, that may represent another 200 or 300 acre feet. So we may be in true overdraft because of everybody's savings, only 500 acre feet. So, and now if that didn't confuse you enough, because it's you're just coming at it from all these different ways, I think the long and short of it is we're going to go to 2 days a week watering. The windows are going to be narrow. The community has been fantastic about, you know, conserving water. The big worry the city has right now is that because water is an enterprise fund, right, a business, it's not general fund, you know, there is still a fixed cost to produce one drop of water. And what we're worried about is at some point down the line, if we keep conserving as much water as we've been doing, which is a great thing, right? The cost of water is still going to go up because there's a fixed business cost. So there's a real tricky balance here, but that's a longer term problem.
That's what the transportation bill is facing right now with the federal government.
Yes.
We're conserving gasoline, we're not paying as much into the highway trust fund, you're losing money, and then you can't build roads.
Right.
So there's no money.
It's
kind of a catch-22, you know.
It is, and I mean, you can see anybody, you know, a local resident, I'd be the same. Wait a minute, you know, I saved all of these things, you know.
I should be able to have some surplus.
You know, now you're charging me more for, so, you know, that's the downside of what's coming down the pike. But the city's doing all the right things. The citizens are doing all the right things. You know, the fire station is going brown. You know, that's why we took out all the turf that we did. So everybody's doing all the right stuff. It's just kind of, it is what it is. And it is related to the general plan. It is related to the WIP. It's just coming at it in different ways.
And as projects, I guess, come before us, I mean, those could be the things that you as staff say, you know what, you know, what's going on with your sprinkler system? Or is it drought resistant? Or, you know, the landscape changes from there. So then that avoids any issues for the future with citizens saying, hey, you know, or just consumption of water in general.
Yeah, and, you know, that's why when Kings River Village came forward, it came forward in a really important time, but it also came forward with project characteristics such as we all call it purple pipe, but the bioswales,
yeah.
That, you know, so it it really is a way for the community to see this is how it can be done. And it's a way for future development to emulate and be required to produce those things to make sure we continue to be good stewards. Anything else? Okay, moving on. 2015 Brown Act. Hey, I'm going to try and keep you moving. The Brown Act. Basically, as you all know, we're subject to the Brown Act. It's a set of rules. Some refer to as sunshine laws, which have to do with kind of the way we all behave. As public figures. It's nothing new. All of you do a great job. If you have any questions, you know, you can always give me a call. I'm more than happy to look up whatever you need. Things like safe harbors, executive session, things like that, we typically won't use here. Probably the only thing that, and I know all of you are very well aware of, is what are called serial meetings or serial discussions, and you all know what that is, so I don't really have to go too much into that.
We just did that training.
You just did the training? The ethics training, right?
Ethics training.
Okay, so actually, you know what? I took the ethics training, believe it or not, and I passed. So it was, yeah, no, pretty, I was impressed.
Yeah, who said you passed?
Hey, they said, I got the certificate.
You didn't take a test like we did.
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, did you? They give you a test?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
So I went through the state political fair practice. I don't know if that was different, but yeah, I had to take a test, and, you know, I got lucky and passed.
I did the online. I had to take, there was about six tests.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you had to do 2 hours of training.
Yeah.
I did that.
Yeah.
Also.
So anyway, we give that to you. It's a great reference. You know, if you ever have any questions, let us know. We're more than happy to help guide you through any of that. I mean, probably the biggest thing is any kind of disclosure. You know, I know Ron's had to step out because something with the manual came before, but really that's about it. Okay, moving on. Planning project update. The bad news is it does appear that Sadia is going to litigate against Kings River Village. It is what it is.
Who's that?
And
CID?
My, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Did you say CID?
CID.
Oh, Consolidated.
Consolidated Irrigation District is preparing to, you know, fight the fight. And so they've sent us their notice of intent probably, what's today, the 21st. So probably within the next week, they will file litigation and we'll just take it from there. And
that was going to be my one of my two questions to you, or actually one was a statement. But, you know, the last time that they did this, they dropped the suit. Do we anticipate them dropping the suit on this one?
We actually, so CID has basically up till now taken three actions. Actually, that's not true. CID sued us over the general plan. That litigation is still is ongoing. The city sued CID for Public Records Act issues. We are prepared to dismiss that under certain criteria, or I should say we are conditionally prepared to dismiss that one. The suit, you may remember, was they initially threatened litigation, filed litigation against Trailside Terrace. However, that was revoked because it was premature, because there were no there were actually no quasi-judicial decisions had been made. So those are the three things that had occurred. So general plan is ongoing. PRA is, we hope they will agree to dismiss. We've offered to dismiss it without prejudice. And then now the Trailside Terrace, that went away. And so now we have Kings River Village. And is what it is.
So the other ones, the other developments that they're coming back, the developers come back wanting to finish because of those dates, they can't do anything about those, can they?
No, they cannot.
Wanted to understand.
Yeah. So, to actually go back and to put a little more meat on the bone to what you just said. I don't know if you heard me talking to Tim. We're really excited because one of the things that's happened through the Kings River Village project being approved is we've got other developers who have 5, 10, 20, or 17 lots left in a subdivision are now approaching us going, we want to get those finished up right away. And some of that is because they want to get done before Kings River hits the books, because once that happens,
it opens up.
Then there'll be too much on the market for the little fish to catch up. So that's really good for us. I mean, that means in the next year we could have 20 to 25 new starts. That would be huge for Reedley. Huge.
Yeah. I haven't seen any in a way.
We've got, well, they've trickled in.
Trickled in.
Okay, so we've already got four, we've probably got six this year, four generations that are under construction right now, and they've pulled permits on six, or getting ready to pull on the next six. We've got River Glen, I guess it's called, getting ready to pull 12. They should be submitting within the next week or two. And we've been working with Monta Vista, which is Buttonwillow and Myrtle. Hopefully that's been slow and churning, but we think that that will come up again and be maybe within the 6 or 8 months they'll move forward and start constructing a couple houses. Kind of to move along about planning update, the other part to this that we're also pretty excited about, actually a couple things we're excited about. One, at the next council meeting, we're going to be bringing to the council a deferral program. So basically what it'll allow is a developer to come who's got development, they're pulling their building permit. They can enter into an agreement and a notice of lien that will allow them to put 20% of their impact fees down, non-refundable. And then when they call for their final permit or final inspection, they can remit the balance, the 80% balance. And so the reason that that's important, the way that helps developers is because if you had a good example is Trailside Terrace. Their total impact fee is right around $500,000. So if you think about, that's 8-9 months of construction of $500,000, because they're going to have to go with their first draw on their line of credit, $500,000, right? Monies that aren't going to do anything for them.
Yeah.
So if they only have to, and then the balance of the 80%, at least it comes due at a time when you're closer to occupancy, which means you're closer to revenue, you know, and things like that. So, I was asked the other night when I was doing our budget presentation about what economic development do we do, and I was like really thrown, because it's like, all the stuff that we do, you know, these programs, the development impact fees, processing, you know, Ellen running as fast as she can to get things approved. I mean, those are all about economic development.
They didn't see no retail stores. That's what
they're saying.
That's why they're saying that, you know.
But that's why I brought up the issue of, you know, and I kind of referred to it as we've turned the corner. You know, I've been here 2.5 years. The first year, when I walked through the door, there were no projects sitting on my desk. And we spent all our time developing staff, developing relationships with realtors, architects, developers, to get stuff into the pipeline. As I mentioned earlier, we did 72 applications last year. That's unheard of. I shouldn't say never, but I bet you in the last 10 years, that level of effort is just not there. And then I counterbalance that with what you're going to see over the next year is all these projects coming out of the ground. So you're going to see Les Schwab break ground here pretty quick. You're going to see the district office break ground. You already see Wes's project here. We've got a project on Manning that's getting ready to pop. So you're going to, you know, we've got four new starts coming out of the ground. So you're going to see those things coming out of the ground over the next year. But the real challenge for me is to try and get as close to equilibrium as I can. You know, we had zero. Then we did this huge spike of projects. And now, yes, we're not going to do 72 next year. I know that. I mean, that's just the way it works. But my goal over the next year is try to find a little bit closer equilibrium than from 0 to 72 to 12 to, you know. So I want to try and figure out how to make sure that maybe we do 50 entitlements, but we got 50 coming out of the ground, you know, so that there's a nice balance. That'll be a really good economic engine for us versus these kind of roller coaster rides up and down. And it's why I go gray and that one looks tired.
Kevin, you, something popped into my mind while you were doing all that. But are any other cities doing this a process that you're going to introduce next week? What did you call it?
Deferral
program?
Well, there are other cities. They do it in different ways. Clovis has a program. I have to go look where I review. You know what I was about to say, so I stopped myself. Reviewed, there were like five or six other cities that, and most of them were down south, that I reviewed their deferral programs. And was able to glean good ideas and formulate this specific to Reedley. Whenever we do things like this, I guess I'll just say this, we like to go out and look at a lot of cities, typically five or six, and we take the best from all of those and groom the project or the policy or whatever it is specific to us. Like some will defer till time to close of escrow. Well, I don't want to be working with an escrow company. Mm-hmm. Those are, you know, if it falls in, if it falls out, to me, and that's too far down the road. A developer says, hey, you know what, I'm not going to close escrow till 2 years after it's constructed. Now I've got too much money hanging out there for too long of a period of time. Because one of the things we want to do is we want to use this as an incentive, which means we're not charging interest, which is huge to a contractor. Because that's money, you know, it's not intended to be. I mean, it's kind of free money then. So, you know, there's all these little caveats that we've had to think through about what are we trying to create, how do we incentivize it, what works in Reedley, what do we have capacity to manage? You know, it's just Ellen, Caitlin, you know, Gary and I kind of work in this whole program, and I can't be chasing down 10 different escrow companies. We don't have the manpower, or there were a number of other strategies that city use. So we always gear things to us, and it's never really and just off the shelf change the names and we're good to go, because it just never seems to work well that way. It's just my experience. But so that's kind of where we're at planning. Have I forgotten anything? Got a text amendment coming up, but you already know that because it's on the thing. The housing element's coming up. Alan's done a great job of helping me with making comments. The draft is out or should be out very shortly. I think that's about it, all I can think of for now. Oh, rezone, we're still moving ahead. Remember the citywide rezone project that you approved?
Yeah.
The council did approve that, and it's kind of one of those, we're moving ahead. You haven't seen anything publicly, but I just sent Ellen about the eighth draft of this document, because, and I guess I'll just, kind of look at Gabriel, you know, we can write things in really, really technical planning jargon that all of us in the planning world understand, but when it gets to, you know, the homeowner, they just go, what the heck is this? So we have spent a fair amount of time really trying to wordsmith this thing to where it's not geared to any of us. It's geared to them. It's geared to the public. So when they look at it, they'll understand. Because if it was geared to us, I would have been done a long time ago. It would have been really easy. So I didn't want to forget about that.
The bridge, please.
The bridge.
Because it looks
great.
It does look great.
So when is the commencement? Okay.
So ribbon. June 10th.
Okay.
And you should be getting an invitation.
Where? Okay. Where's the invitation going to go? Is it email invitation?
No, it'll be. It should be sent to you.
Your bonus? Same place bonus? You got your bonus at Christmas, didn't you?
I moved, so.
So if you moved, you better let Ellen know so we know where to send it. But if I remember correctly, it's June 10th at like 10 or 10:30 in the morning. It's going to be a very small ceremony. There'll be a plaque. Folks will speak. Part of the reason it's small is because it is a limited space area. You know, we can't really close the bridge.
We're not going to be in the middle of the road.
No, we thought about a band and fire trucks and all that, but we thought, it's not going to work.
It's the last day of school.
We've got the gazebo.
So if you notice, basically in the last couple of days, all the kind of antique-ish, historic lights have gone up. In the last 2 days, they put what are called the last lift. It's the last 2 inches of asphalt on. So you'll see them. And
four bumps in the morning.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you, it's been crazy driving, and I've seen some crazy driving because, they're on one, they'll do the final lift on one side, then they'll come back on the other side. So they're shifting. I mean, it's like almost two shifts a day have been going on for the last week. They shift away to get the lights up, then they shift it back to get the lift, and then they shift it back to, finish the lift and blah, 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 blah. But it looks really, really good, and they've done a great job. And the bridge will be it will be open to two-way traffic probably within the next 2 weeks.
2 ways each way?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Then June 10th is when we could get it coordinated, get everybody there, do the ribbon cutting thing. The demobilization of the contractor will still go on for several months. Probably they'll be off-site and the city will officially accept it September-ish. But
they're going to tweak it, or just, work on certain little things.
Well, it's so like if you're leaving town, they've got a couple of manholes they've got to lift up.
Mm-hmm.
It's some of that little punch list stuff, demobilizing. So they've got to put everything back. On Dick Otani's piece, they use that staging area. They're going to have to clean all that stuff up. They've still got some irrigation and some planting to do, but we're really, really close to traffic opening up and so on and so forth.
Nothing's going to go in the middle, in the median?
No.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
We'll find out. I think that's it.
All right. Questions, concerns?
I just have one thing I want to let everybody know. On the 4th, I'll be out of the state on business, so I will probably miss the June 4th meeting. Just to make sure that everybody was aware of that, so we could still have a quorum.
Thanks. And on that note, June 15th, I know it's on here. I think Ellen set notes. That is a joint meeting with the city council. And
that's here, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's right here. Usually what we end up doing, sorry, Pete, no dinner. That's all I count.
Dang it.
I know. Cheapskate. What
I might as well talk to Paul. He'll get us dinner.
That is the wrong. You know what? You go do that one, Pete. Good luck on that one. That's not happening. But if you do, let me know how that happens. Anyway, on a serious note, it's a joint meeting with the City Council, the Planning Commission. We are very, very excited about the upcoming housing element. So, I don't know how much you know about housing elements, but one of the tasks that I inherited when I got aboard was do the housing element. One of the problems that we inherited was that in the past two cycles, the city made commitments that it never followed through. So we had like 600 additional units roll forward. So not only did we have the RENA numbers for the cycle, the four cycle to be met, but we had an additional 600 from the previous two cycles to meet on top of that. Really an interesting and very challenging situation that we work through. We do have a certified housing element. But the really nice thing is, because of a lot of the policies that we've put in place through the WIP and the general plan and a whole bunch of other stuff, when you get to the Reedley section, we actually now have a surplus of units. So much so that it will probably be enough to get us through the sixth cycle. We're going into the fifth.
Now, the housing element you're talking about, low housing, that we
it's
are
all,
mandated?
It's all housing.
All housing?
All housing.
Oh, okay. You're not talking about low income?
Yes. When I say all, I am literally talking about all. So the state gives us, you know, you must provide so many low, medium, market rate, etc. And, you know, the focus tends to be on the low because it tends to come through higher density apartments because that's the easiest way to make it. That, it tends to be the predominant conversation. But it's really a broader conversation about how do you make sure that there is adequate housing for everybody. So a great example is, and I was talking to somebody at lunch, Reedley is really unique in that the last two tax credit projects that we had, which are Reedley Family and Kings River Commons. Sorry, we got so many Kings River Wood things. Yeah, it makes me crazy. But it is not typical that those are 100% affordable projects. So typically you have like 70-30. 70% of the units are affordable, defined as affordable, and a 30 that are market rate. And in our case, we've had 100%. So that's truly 100 and some units that will truly designate. One of the problems with that, that is a good problem, is we get complaints all the time. And we got a ton of complaints with people who wanted to move into Kings River Village because, or Kings River Commons. You can't because it was 100% affordable. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'd move in. Because they were really nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of one of those, there's even more to it than that. What I had the privilege of sitting down and being part of the allocation committee. So the county receives an allocation of RENA numbers. And then the 13 cities in the county sat down and developed the distribution. So of, you know, who would take this, that, or there's a bunch of criteria. But the goal of that distribution is that by 2040, 2050, I can't remember, that in theory, everybody has the same. So whether you're in Orange Cove, Clovis, Fresno, the city of Reedley, everybody has the same number of low mod number, RENA numbers. It never works out that way for a variety of reasons. So that was a long story to just get you to the point where we're really excited. Our housing element worked out really good. We won't have any problems. We've got some really good policies. The policies that you were kind enough to show wisdom and approve, and the council did the same, have really had a great impact already, and the housing element is proof of that.
This is open to the public?
Open to the public.
And then, so it's just going to be the city of Reedley?
Yeah.
Here, it's not going to be any of the other city representatives?
No.
Okay.
So what will end up happening, and what we typically do when we have joint meetings, we put the council, we'll set up tables kind of in the pit or the well, and then the council and you folks will sit together. Then there'll be a presentation from the consultant, mm-hmm. and then you'll be able to ask questions. Members of the public are invited. They can, more than welcome to come, ask questions. As a matter of fact, I authorize the particular flyer you have, Pete, to be translated and sent to the city in Spanish. So we'll be able to distribute it in Spanish as well.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez.
Hey, I just, I figured that was the appropriate thing to do. So, that's kind of a big meeting coming up.
It's just a workshop, right? We're not voting on anything?
No, it's
just information only.
It's information. It will be a workshop format. I'll try and get that to you as quickly as I can. Understanding that it's a big document, because there's 13 jurisdictions, what I did for us, I just printed it out today. I think it's the first five or six of the general context, and then there's the Ridley specific. So the Ridley specific is really what you're most interested in, but I think I enjoyed reading the first six chapters because it talks about employment, head of household, single household. There's a lot of great data in there, but it's also great data also that it gives comparison. So you're looking at a chart that shows, single female household of three. It'll give you all the statistics and how it compares out across all jurisdictions that are participating. So I thought it was kind of interesting from that standpoint.
All right. So our next meeting is still scheduled for the 4th of June.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Pete, for allowing us to have that information. If you have any more questions, concerns, I'm going to adjourn the meeting. Is that it?
Alan says yes.